The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Perelman. And Jerry's going to be with us in a minute because we're doing something different this week. As a new co-host, we want to interview the co-host. And so the listeners understand, you know, where they're coming from, why they want to get involved with Project Independence, which is a nice thing versus just bringing somebody on. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, we had Graziella on. And I happened to meet Graziella at Christina's grandfather's photo show. And so I had a conversation with her there, but that really wasn't fair because the listeners don't know anything about Graziella. So I believe she's on next week or the following week, at which time we're going to find a little bit more about her. But, you know, Jerry is going to be here. He is here right now. But, you know, I also want to go into our second guest today, just before we start talking with Jerry. And that's going to be Jerry, another Jerry. This is Jerry Walsh. And Jerry Walsh is the president of the FINRA Foundation, and she's also a senior vice president of investor education. And one of the things on Project Independence we talk about is the importance of safeguarding our seniors and making sure they are not parted from their money. And unfortunately, which I'm going to bring up in the next half hour, I was listening to like a podcast, one of those things, and the amount of people that get scammed financially, the worst number is 1 out of 10. Then I hear 1 out of 16, 1 out of 25. But nevertheless, I've never heard less than 1 out of 25. And if 1 out of 25 people came down with a disease, it would be considered an epidemic. But yet, in reference to scamming seniors, 1 out of 15, 1 out of 19, whatever the numbers is, and it's billions of dollars a year. So Jerry Walsh is going to be with us at 10:30 to review some of that stuff and just give us tips to be safe. And these are tips that are coming from FINRA. And FINRA is the governing organization, basically, of all brokers within the stock exchange. So, I mean, she is the last word as far as I'm concerned. Right now, what I'd like to do is go over to Jerry or turn this to Jerry and introduce Jerry Perelman, who is going to be an ongoing co-host. He's our co-host today. Good morning.
Good morning, and John. Thank you.
What I always like to start to do is, first of all, you're co-hosting today. Why? And tell us about yourself and what brought you here.
That's a good question. I didn't anticipate that. I love TV and radio, and I've been involved in the music industry my entire life. And when I saw Project Independence and this opportunity to participate, I said, you know, it would just be something fun to do,
right,
something extra that I haven't done in North Hempstead. Years ago, I was able to do some radio commercials for WGLI Radio.
I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. That gave me a little insight into producing a commercial and making sure everything was right and your voice sounded right and you really pay attention to the T's and the I's and Q's.
Right.
So I just saw this and I said, wow, if I can have this shot, it would be fun.
Right. Okay. This is wonderful. And actually, what I do want to go back to Brooklyn.
The days of Brooklyn.
And only, yes. You know, it's, I'm sure people who know you say, oh my God, we're going back to Brooklyn. But for anybody who's listening for the first time, I find that the listeners really enjoy learning and getting to know a person. Because then when Christina announced next week, Jerry's going to be on, and next week, you know, God, whoever's going to be on. Yeah. Actually, no, there's not a Jerry. You know, Otto's going to be on. Yes. It's very nice because people say, well, I want to tune in to listen to Otto. I want to tune in to listen to Jerry.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, you talk about Brooklyn. I've traveled around the world. I've had the opportunity to do a tremendous amount of traveling. And when you're in a foreign country and you meet somebody and you say, oh, where are you from? And they'll say, oh, I'm from New York. And you say, oh, my God, I'm from New York, too. There's a feeling of brotherhood there, no matter what the background of the person is. They might have, you would have never known them in a million days because
right, okay.
they're a different profession or a different way of life. But then you meet somebody and you say, well, we're in New York, and they'll say Brooklyn. And you'll say, oh, my God, you're from Brooklyn, too?
Right, right, right.
And it's like there's nothing like Brooklyn people. And those listeners who grew up in Brooklyn kind of get that. They know you're a Brooklyn person. You have a certain sincerity to you, a forthrightness. Brooklyn people are just very down to earth,
right.
as all New Yorkers are. We're very straightforward in New York.
Oh, no, 100%. But what you're saying there is very true, because people always go back to their roots.
Yeah, they
you know,
do.
So even if you were in Brooklyn, but you left and you came to Long Island, which many people have
yes.
over the last 20, 30, 40 years,
yeah.
you're still from Brooklyn. You know the restaurants in Brooklyn. You know the pizzerias
too.
From Brooklyn.
Oh,
you know the delis
yes.
and stuff.
And most Brooklyn people didn't grow up rich. We
grew right.
up modest. And I mean, my dad worked like 12, 14 hours a day as a dry cleaner to keep us in an apartment. And then eventually we got a house in Sheepshead Bay, which was a big, big, big step up. And yet it was still a modest house by Long Island standards. Those are the roots of people who come from Brooklyn. They understand working hard and trying to achieve and trying to better yourself and raising your kids and trying to get them in to do their homework.
Right.
And all the values that are so important to us.
Well, you know, it's funny. You go to I'm not familiar with, I know where Sheepshead Bay is, but
yeah.
But you say you bought a modest house, your dad bought a modest house in Sheepshead Bay. You do have to go back to a point in time where life was different then, because, yeah, your house in Sheepshead Bay is probably a garage on Long Island. I'm not knocking that. Don't get me wrong. Because, I mean, we grew up in Flushing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's
two-car garage.
You look at some of these houses, you say, but, and this is something from Henry David Thoreau, and I can't remember the exact quote, but like, why do you spend so much time working to pay for something like that versus enjoying yourself? Years ago, your father had to work because it's a whole different world.
Yes,
he did. You know, you were getting pennies. So therefore, in order to make a living, you really had to put in the hours. Today, some people on Long Island have decent salaries. So why do you have to buy bigger and bigger and use your money that way versus having more leisure time or more family time?
If I knew the answer to that question,
yeah.
I'd be on every TV and radio show.
But it's the truth.
But we want to strive for something better. We always want to strive to be very proud of what we have. And for some people, it's a house. For some people, it's a car. For some people, it's having a big boat, but they might have a modest house.
Right. That's true, too.
You know, it comes out in different ways. I've always felt that travel is a significant way to empower your life and to learn. You learn about other cultures. You learn about other countries, the history. You just expand your horizons so much. So I would rather travel
than
have a big house.
Right. I think something like that makes a little more sense because there's an educational component to that.
Oh, yes.
Versus, you know, a big house is nice. But now let's go to traveling a little bit. How did you travel? By yourself, in groups, or, you know, like, did you ever go on some of these
tours.
Right, these tours.
Years ago, I think my first big trips were on bicycle.
Really?
Well, big trips, you know, for a kid, for an 8-year-old
whatever.
Kid. I remember bicycling I was living in Brooklyn and there was a milk shortage. And I remember telling my mom, I'm going to find milk for you, Mom. And she was a doll. She gave me a tremendous amount of confidence.
Good.
And she didn't hold me back. And she says, okay, but be careful. So I took my bike and I rode to Westchester.
Wow.
Because the strike, there was a milk strike effect.
From Brooklyn to Westchester?
Yeah, from Brooklyn. So I remember going up through Manhattan, riding up First Avenue, going across the bridges. And when I finally got to the city line past the Bronx, I went into a store, bought 4 containers of milk, put them in the bicycle and little saddlebags I had, and rode back. And it took about 3 hours up and 3 hours back. And I came in, I said, look, Ma, I got milk. She says, oh, honey, that's so terrific. And I felt like $1 million. But that was my first taste, I think, of a little initiative to travel further than just around the corner.
That's a tremendous story, though.
Yeah.
I mean, from two points, the traveling part of it's cool, but the fact that you went to that effort to get milk for your mom.
Yeah, for my mom. Well, she got everything for me. She says, oh, I wish we had some more milk. I said, don't worry, Mom, I'll find the milk.
Wow, I love that. I love that.
And then from there, I just began. I come from a family of travelers.
Oh, okay.
My cousin is a big travel writer. And he's got a lot of books out. Maybe it's all in our blood. I don't know. But I traveled during my college years. I used to go to Europe and travel around with friends. I remember just going.
Backpacking kind of traveling? Or?
Kind of maybe a little step up, maybe a suitcase traveling.
Okay, that's fine. All right,
I'd rent the car.
Right.
As opposed to like hitchhiking or taking trains.
Fine, okay. That's
and,
right, yeah.
I was working as a musician, so I had a few bucks to spend, you know, so fortunately. But I would go for 7 weeks at a time, and I continued that so that I've traveled really around the world, sometimes in stretches during the summers of 6-7 weeks at a time. I've done Europe. I've done Asia. I've done the Middle East. Middle East meaning not just, let's say, Israel and Egypt, but I've done Turkey. And I've done surrounding countries to that region. And you really learn a lot, especially when you're not on a timetable, where you could just travel and just go to one city and stay for 4, 5, 6 days and then travel to the next.
So you didn't
city.
Do this reservation-wise. You went and then after 4 or 5 days said, I'm out of Rome, let's go next.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a trip to the Middle East once where I had a trip into Israel. I had booked a flight into Israel and I had my first 2 nights booked. In a hotel in Israel, in Jerusalem. And then that was it. 7 weeks later, I had a return flight from Athens, Greece.
Wow.
So now I have...
You knew where you had to be.
Yeah, right, exactly. That was it. 7 weeks from now, I have to be in Athens for the return flight. Everything else is open for grabs. And of course, I had a little rough idea of where I wanted to go. But you have the flexibility to change that. You can alter the countries. You can stay longer. You can cut it short. You see so much when you do it that way, if you're fortunate to have that time.
Oh, sure.
I did the same thing in the Far East. I traveled to Hong Kong. There I had flights, though. I kind of knew, because the distances were greater,
right.
Flights from Hong Kong into Thailand, into Singapore, and then over to Jakarta, Indonesia, and then rented a car with a driver all across Java. That's West Java, Central Java, East Java. Matter of fact, during that trip, I climbed up the Borobudur, which is one of the original seven wonders of the world.
Really?
Where there's thousands of Buddhas there. And it's truly miraculous. There's a forest of trees from all over the world that they bring in. And then the Buddhas are phenomenal, just thousands of them. And you climb up these steep steps to get to the top. And when you climb up, you can't go back down like the way you'd normally go down steps because they're too steep. You have to go back down looking forward. If you go back down like you'd normally go down a flight of stairs looking forward down this... I don't think you can maintain your balance. So you got to turn around and go backwards.
Back,
back off.
Like a baby going down the stairs almost.
Yeah, back off it. And then after the Java spot, I went to Bali. You take a ferry and you go across to Bali. And when I got to Bali, I had no ride. We had a hitch a ride. I was traveling with a buddy of mine. Hitch a ride to, I think it was called Denpasar, the capital of Bali. And as we're walking to get a ride, we see this collection of people in a restaurant along the road. So we walk over, and it turns out it's a wedding. And there's a local Balinese people getting married. And when they saw us, they obviously knew we were travelers.
Right,
we weren't locals.
You weren't part of the wedding.
Yeah, right, exactly. We weren't the part of the bridal party. So they said, come in. So we walk in, and they said, where are you from? And we said, oh, New York. So they said, oh, the Big Apple. So we said, yeah. So they said, please sit down. And they bring over food. And I mean, we didn't want to take away from the wedding, but it seemed to them that this was, we were like special. We were bringing them good luck.
You made the day.
We were bringing them good luck. So I took out my harmonica, and I played a couple of tunes on the harmonica. And they were like, oh, it's just amazed. And it was like family.
Wow, that's cool.
And this is what you get out of travel sometimes.
That's wonderful. We got to take a break.
Okay.
No, that's fine. This is unbelievable because I want to get back to the accordion.
Cool.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.